What's up, everyone? It is Wednesday. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Maybe you're feeling dazed by the doldrums of the week, but let's just rise up. What's up, guys? Yeah, let's go. Now, we have, hey, Sabrina, what's this? Oh, can I rock this today? Let's go. It is Your Word Wednesday. So listen up to see if your word helped write today's show. Got lots to get to, not a lot of time to do it. So let's get to it. We begin with two major developments in the conflicts in the Middle East. First, Israel carried out an attack against Hamas leadership in Doha, the capital of Qatar. The Israel Defense Forces say it was targeting senior terror leaders who have used the city as a headquarters outside of Gaza for years. The strikes occurred on Tuesday around 9 a.m. Eastern Time and appeared to target residential buildings. Video from Doha showed billowing smoke above some of the buildings there. Qatar called it a, quote, criminal assault and a blatant violation of international law. A senior Hamas official tells CNN that the group's negotiators, who have been in the city for previous Gaza ceasefire talks, were targeted. This attack was significant for a few reasons. First, it marks the first time Israel has ever launched an operation in Qatar, which has acted as one of the main intermediaries in the ongoing negotiations to reach a ceasefire in Gaza. Officials say the White House was informed of the strike ahead of time, a move that could strain relations with a longtime ally. Qatar also hosts the largest U.S. military base in the region. Next up, in Gaza, Israel has ordered a complete evacuation of Gaza City ahead of a planned military takeover. Gaza City is the war-torn enclave's largest city and home to around 1 million Palestinians. Leaflets carrying the evacuation message and a map were dropped from the sky, warning innocent residents to get out as Israel attempts to attack the terrorist group Hamas. Israeli military officials say they will begin operating with, quote, great force in the area as part of a bid to defeat Hamas and occupy the city. Those warnings follow a series of airstrikes targeting high-rise towers in densely populated areas in recent days. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning this is just the beginning. Listen.
All this is only an introduction, the sifta to the powerful main act, which is a ground maneuver of our forces who are now assembling and organizing into Gaza City. And this is why I say to the residents of Gaza, I take this opportunity, listen carefully, you have been warned, leave now.
As of this taping, only about 10% of the city's population has evacuated. Now to the UK, where British artist Banksy has struck again, this time with a new mural outside of London's High Court. The painting shows a judge holding his gavel over a protester. The elusive artist has not commented on its meaning, but the work appeared after the arrest of nearly 900 demonstrators supporting the group Palestine Action over the weekend. In July, the UK declared Palestine Action a terror group after members broke into Britain's largest Royal Air Force base and damaged planes. Banksy, arguably the world's most famous street artist, has never revealed his identity, but you probably recognize some of his most notable pieces. The mural was later seen covered and protected by guards, and the court says the artwork will be removed. Pop quiz, hot shot. Which artist famously addressed their own mental health diagnosis during an awards acceptance speech? Beyonce, Harry Styles, Lady Gaga, or Kendrick Lamar? Put your paws up if you said Lady Gaga. Psychiatrists and psychologists all praised the singer-songwriter for revealing she had been diagnosed with PTSD in 2016 and for encouraging others to find support and resources. Schools across the country are dealing with an ongoing counselor shortage, and some districts are turning to a solution that some say is key, others say it's quixotic. A new AI-assisted support system called Sunny uses artificial intelligence to help real people connect with students to chat about their mental health needs. The company is already available to thousands of students in dozens of school districts across the country. Some say it's great. Some, like one critic, say that users of the app are, quote, guinea pigs. Our Zach Wasser got a hands-on demo to see how it actually works.
When my cousin passed away, I was like going out every day just trying to distract myself from my feelings, you know, not really trying to accept reality. It was like late one night and I had remembered Sunny had sent me a text like asking how my day was. And from there, I texted Sunny.
Sunny isn't Michelle's friend. It's a new AI-assisted support system. It allows students to text about their problems with a real person who's aided by AI.
So at my school, resources were very limited, so Sunny being there was kind of a blessing in disguise.
Sonar says 73% of the schools using Sunny do not meet the student-to-counselor ratio of 250-1, recommended by the American School Counselor Association.
We had somewhat of a shortage for school social workers and counselors.
So Carrie Smith helped make Sunny available to the students in her Michigan district.
So Sunny is definitely filling a crucial gap for us. It's very cost-effective. It's $5 per student. That's far less per student than what we spend on other services.
When students text with Sunny, they're texting with a Sonar employee called a well-being companion who uses an AI co-pilot to help craft the texts.
The co-pilot is using a lot of different data and information, clinical approaches, etc., that all feed up into a recommendation for them, making it a lot easier for them to efficiently understand how they should respond. No, we're not replacing therapy, but certainly we can support mild to moderate challenges and escalate those more severe ones.
Sonar says that most of its 10 well-being companions are in their early to mid-20s and working toward a mental health degree. After hearing about Sunny, I wanted to test it out.
I am feeling anxious about going to college. I feel like you guys must get that every once in a while.
We get that quite a bit, absolutely. Most well-being companions would go ahead and take this suggested response. It says it's understandable to feel anxious about college. Would you like to talk about what parts of college are making you feel this way?
Thank you, senators.
Critics of artificial intelligence, like Professor Gary Marcus, warn that these AI systems can hallucinate or generate false information, which makes them unreliable for mental health services.
My biggest concern with these technologies is that they're premature. They're extremely well-intentioned. We want to have more guidance counselors, we want to have more teachers, more tutors, etc. But the technology that they're all built on right now, called large language models, is flawed. If they have humans in the loop, they have enough. The earlier they are in development, the more important it is to probably have a lot of employees. How well are the monitors themselves trained, supervised? This particular product, there's no published data. That means whoever's being used in it is basically a guinea pig in an experiment.
You're trying to solve teen mental health, which is an enormous problem in this country, with a incredibly controversial technology of AI. Why do this?
My mom struggled since her teens with major depressive disorder. And, you know, for me, it's about ensuring that no one else has to go through that type of experience.
All right, press pause or remember this for some critical thinking later on. What do you think? Would you chat with an AI-assisted therapist in a time of need? What are some of the potential downsides or upsides to replacing human counselors with bots? What other questions might you have? Go ahead and discuss. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a son going above and beyond to show dad how much he loves him. For years, die-hard Yankees fan Michael Bisogno has gone to Fenway Park with his Red Sox-loving dad, Antonio, to cheer their teams in a fun-loving rivalry. But they didn't go for the last couple of years because dad's been recovering from a heart attack and it's just been too difficult to go. Michael knew he had to do something, so he spent 6 months secretly building a mini Fenway Park in the family's backyard, and he knocked it out of the park.
It felt really bad that he wasn't able to go to Fenway and have the fun times that we had, so I wanted to do something for him.
This thing is complete with a green monster and authentic seats from the stadium. Michael's dad was brought to tears by his son's heartfelt tribute to their relationship.
You don't take any money with you. You don't take any of your luxuries with you. What you take is your memories and the people that you love when you leave. And one of the biggest moments that I had was seeing my father's reaction is worth more than winning the Powerball to me.
Some things just connect us. For Michael and his dad, it's baseball, but more importantly, the time they get to spend together.
Baseball's everything to us, and he's everything to me.
I hope we stay together for the rest of their life.
They say there's no crying in baseball, but that'll get me teary-eyed, for sure. All right, congrats to Mr. Hardaway and our friends at Cashion High School in Cashion, Oklahoma, are Your Word Wednesday winners for submitting quixotic, an adjective meaning exceedingly idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical. Thank you for helping us write the show and boosting our vocab. Now, our first shout-out to the day goes to Watertown Mayor Middle School in Watertown, Minnesota, sending a pop quiz hotshot t-shirt. I will be rocking this all the way home. And from our CNN 10 YouTube channel comment section, my Knights and Mr. Ashworth at Cabell Midland High School in Ona, West Virginia, rise up. Thank you for spending part of your day with us, everyone. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.